Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
And as we're moving towards the election, discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Okay, so we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up! Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi, friends. Amy Guth and Rex Hupke here, back for another fine installation of Guth and Hupke on Politics. And holy shit, people, in a week, we're going to know. And I'm telling you, it is November the 2nd right now. It is late afternoon of November the 2nd, so you may not be hearing this till the 3rd or so. But nonetheless, my friends, in a week, we are going to know so much crap, to which I just have to say, holy shit, people.
Yep.
We're going to know whether or not the Cubs win the World Series.
Yep.
We're going to know... who in the hell is the president of the United States starting January 20th or whenever inauguration is this year? Oh, my God. I know. Yeah, right? That's the only response. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know which of those two is more important at the moment. Right.
And
now,
I'm getting a kick out of, like, God love them. We all need friends outside of this industry to keep us, to keep our monkeys in check, right? To keep us from losing our damn minds.
Nobody keeps my monkeys in check.
And I love, like, friends of mine who are like, hey, Guth, what's up? You want to hang out? I was like, do you know? Do you even know all the things happening right now? There's no...
The like, world is about to end. What are you talking about?
I'm like, I responded to someone today who was like, hey, if you want to get together and brainstorm that one idea we were talking about of doing. And I was like, hey, maybe it could wait until after the election when I have my brain back. Hey, thanks. Bye.
Right. I've been telling so many people that, no, sorry, you know what? I'm going to have to worry about that after. Yeah,
I can't even think about what you're saying.
That thing that's coming up that's colossally important.
I the light bulb in my little laundry room burned out. And I was like, It's kind of behind the water heater. Rather than just switch the light bulb, I was like, nah, screw it. I got to do that after the election. Yes. I can't even be bothered to change the light bulb. Finally, I was like, okay, it's really a pain in the ass to do laundry in the dark. You're going to have to change the damn light bulb. But it really was like, I can't be bothered right now.
Now that you mention it, there may be other things I could put off that I haven't been putting off, but I should because it's a perfect excuse.
There's no time to shower.
Yes, sorry. I absolutely cannot mow the lawn or do that thing I promised
any
to
of
do.
The things right now.
I can't help you move. Are
Lord,
you crazy?
Have mercy on us all right now.
Well, you know, I do wonder if our minds, if we're overblown. I know it's important, of course. You can't question the importance of the president of the United States, but I do wonder how much of our own hysteria is hysteria that perhaps those who are going through this a little more at ease,
right,
may wind up being more correct that, well, at the end of the day,
right,
it works out and whatever.
Yeah, one of my yoga teachers is so chill and together, and he put something on Facebook that was like, hey, people, we're just talking about two human beings, and there's a lot of processes around them to prevent them from being dictators, and, like, we all just need to chill and love each other. And I was like, oh, you're so right. Also, oh, my God, all the things. Oh, but you're so right. All the things. Okay.
Shut up, you kale eater. Damn liberal yoga person.
We need the yoga people.
Yeah, really.
We need them all.
It helps balance.
I've done so much yoga. I'm going to be in phenomenal shape because I've been doing so much yoga, so I don't, like, punch anybody.
Yeah, the election has demanded a certain amount of exercise and just energy release one way or the other. So.
Like two episodes of this show ago, when I was really worried about all the anti-Semitism and had gotten a little bit of it myself, I went to both yoga and the gym that day.
Wow.
I did all the things.
A double whammy.
And I was really sore the next day because I put a lot of effort into, to, you know, releasing all of that.
That was during this podcast dark phase. And
it was like kind of a black spot.
This 5-week-old podcast dark phase. We've now come out of it.
History will like, you know, really analyze all the episodes and be like, clearly Guth was in a mood on that one. She was really grieving. She was really down in that part. Good times, man. Good times. Well, as we always say, give it just a couple of days in this election cycle and lots of crap happens, and this time is no exception, as per usual. So we've got, where do we even start today there, Rex Hupke? I think we start with email, because that's the big pressing thing that a lot of people are saying. Here's the thing that I say probably every single episode, and it continues to vex me quite a bit. And that is, when are we going to start reading stories and not just reading the damn headlines?
That just doesn't happen. Forget about it.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that shit keeps me up at night when people are like, first of all, here's the tell. hey, did you read the story in the New York Times about blank? And if the answer is, yeah, I saw that. They did not read it.
They just saw it.
They looked at it. They looked at the headline, acknowledged that it exists, and moved on. Yeah. So there's that. I recognize the world is busy, you guys. We are busy people too. I recognize that the world is busy, but we have to read things. Seriously, guys, words mean things, and we need to read them. And we need to read them from a variety of sources and put them into our brains and say, hey, words, how do you feel in there? How do I feel about those words that are in there? I'm going to make an opinion based on the words that I just put into my brain. I cannot stress this enough because it's not happening.
Well, and especially if you're reading headlines, because headlines are not intended by any reputable news source to be dishonest or to drive you in the wrong direction, but they are meant to catch your eye. And so a lot of times a headline is not really telling you the whole story. Well, yep. I mean, excuse me, never is a headline telling you the whole story, but right. A lot of times it may give you the wrong impression. So if you're just looking at you know, oh God, massive new Clinton email dump. Right. Well, that doesn't note exactly what's going
anything.
On. Right.
Yeah, that tells you there's volume and what it's related to, but sure. That doesn't tell you guilt. That doesn't tell you anything.
Right, right.
And boy, does that make me crazy. And I witnessed a conversation, and I know we talk about media literacy and how we need people to understand some of the nuances of journalism a little bit better. And that's what we're going to tackle after the election. But yeah. Right now, I saw an interaction on Facebook this week that drove me crazy because someone had posted a story later in the comment thread, admitted to not having read it, but admonished Hillary for, you know, it said like, you know, massive email, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it said, further proof, big crook, da, 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 da. Later in the thread said, well, I didn't read the story. I just, you know, we all know what this is about. Well, I mean, if we applied that philosophy to, say, dating or movies, it gets pretty yeah. pretty screwed up pretty fast, right?
Yes, like, yes, very.
Seems like a nice person on that one date, married, done. Like, not...
Everything's going to be perfect.
It's going to be perfect.
I don't see right. what I could have missed.
Right, fine. Or, like, with a movie. Like, I saw the trailer. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I like that one actor. I love the movie.
Yes.
Like, we got to read the words. Read the words. Put yeah. the words into your brain. But anyway, there was a person that also commented on this thread who said... typical liberal media, they waited until the second paragraph to add this detail. I was like, that's what you do. That's a thing.
And I don't think the second paragraph is really waiting. I mean, that's right. Wow.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's the like, one after the first.
It's right there. That's like when you open the door of the house and then you walk into the house.
Right.
It's not like I had to go all the way through your house to get to the foyer.
Right.
No, it's right there.
Yeah. You just opened the door.
It's the thing that you did. And I'm like, what in the hell is happening right now? So I was like, hey, second paragraph is pretty typical place to get information, you guys. Just
yeah.
throwing it out there. And someone was like, get out of here, commie.
Yeah.
Like, lib. Okay.
Lib shit.
Don't Beat worry. It. I'm out. Yeah. Lib shit is a good one. Yeah, I hear that one a lot.
Yeah. I get that a lot nowadays. I think that's the new one. It baffles me, and we don't. The problem with not reading beyond the headlines is that we get into this ridiculous cycle. So I have people will accuse me of being a complete shill for Hillary Clinton, as they like to say, but they haven't actually read any of my columns where I have been pretty.
You've been pretty fair down the
middle. Yeah, I've been pretty much, and I mean, I've gone after Trump way more than I've gone after her, and that's for a lot of different reasons.
Right, but also he said things about grabbing women by
right.
their lady parts.
Yes.
And I don't think she did.
No, she did not say that. Even in her emails, she hasn't said that, as far as we know. Who knows what those emails might say. But and speaking of which, I saw a really funny thing where somebody dummied up an email and said, this is the only email from Hillary Clinton that would make any difference. And it was like, Dear Huma, and then it went on to say, I think Mexicans are rapists. And then it sort of like was like a letter where she said all of the things that are bad that Donald Trump has said. So this is the only email of hers that is going to have any effect on my vote.
Outstanding.
But anyway, but the problem is, okay, so people just say, well, I have been just all pro Hillary. Well, no, I haven't. If you read into my columns, I've said routinely that I think she's a flawed candidate. I think there's problems there. There's things about her I don't like.
Yeah.
Et cetera. So, but because people have only read the headlines, you're a Trump bashing, blah, blah, blah. So you
yeah,
can't.
According to your headline, I believe the following about you.
Exactly. So you can't get any nuance anywhere. And again, I mean, I have obviously I'm a left-leaning significantly and all that sort of stuff. Policy-wise, I line up with her, whatever. But the point is, we can't have a fair discussion if it's just going to be your headline is in opposition to my belief system
right.
or what I think is true, therefore, screw this, and I don't need to read anything else.
And also, by reporting something, you are not necessarily endorsing it. You are just stating the fact.
Sure.
I bring up an example of this, and that is the day that Pope Francis, you know, habeas papam, y'all, right? That day, like with the smoke, right? That, like, I tweeted that link, and I was like, hey, we have a new pope. Here's his deal. And someone was like, oh, you're such a shill for the Catholic Church. I was like, I'm actually not even Catholic a little bit, and I'm just letting you know that we have a pope.
Right.
That's a thing that happened, and that's a really big deal. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I made him. That doesn't mean it's me. That doesn't mean I work for him or get paid by him. That just means the following occurred. I found it compelling. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Pretty much, there we go.
Maybe I could just end every tweet with that.
Yeah, that would, I think we all could do that.
We've reached that point.
Yeah.
We've reached that, we've got peak election because we've now dropped an F-bomb in this year's podcast.
Exactly.
We're going to have to put that in the, like a disclaimer.
Yes, not safe. Keep this podcast away from your
children. Yeah, FYI, there's an F-bomb in it because Guth's had enough.
Yeah, she's had it. She can't take it anymore. Even the yoga's not working.
Yeah. God, like imagine without the yoga. Mm. I just beat you up.
Yes, or something. It would just be you.
Don't talk, hubby. Just punch.
You dropping F-bombs and punching me in the face.
No, I could never. I could never. But nonetheless, okay, so email happened. And again, a lot of, I saw someone tweet a story about how, like, here's actually the deal with the email. Like, I know a lot of you are saying this is all about guilt and everyone is just, you know, throwing the book at her, but like, here's the situation. This latest development is very little to do with that particular woman and a lot of people around her, but not actually her. And this person like tweeted that story without having read it and just said like, further proof of, you know, guilt, guilt, guilt. And I'm like, did you read the thing that you just tweeted? Because that's actually in direct opposition of what you said, just FYI.
Yeah, does not prove your point. Well, that's right. The thing with, and what I think is outrageous about the way this news was delivered by the head of the FBI.
It was terrible.
Was it? It's just I saw somebody compare it to a mystery box, which is exactly right. I mean, they basically just said, here's a random thing that will let you put whatever your beliefs are, you know, and apply them in however you, which way you want. I mean, they just said, you know, there are emails. They may or may not be pertinent. Have fun the rest of the election. I mean, that was really what they said. And that's exactly what has happened. Nobody has reported or seen the email. Nobody who has seen the emails, nothing's been reported. Nobody knows. No. They could all be duplicates of what they've already looked at. They could be new. They could be damning. Who knows? Right. We just have absolutely no idea. But everybody's making of it what they want to make of it. The people that support Hillary and don't care about the email things are saying, man, who cares? It's nothing. Well, they could be proven wrong. The people who hate Hillary are saying, oh, yeah, this is absolutely it. The smoking gun, the thing in there that says she's a demon murderer lesbian is definitely for sure there.
And, you say that like it's an insult.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And they may be proven wrong. I mean, it's, who knows? We don't know. And that's why it's so damn stupid, because it's just a thing. It's like throwing a thing out there that everybody can then just whack around until the election. And however, unfortunately, because of the sort of media whirlwind we live in, it's damaging to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, it is. It is, because things are traveling faster than facts come out most of the time. And actually, the word whack is perfect, because this is whack-a-mole. Mm, like, truly, this is information whack-a-mole that we're playing, where people are just like, oh, thing, hit it.
Bap. Oh, there's another one.
Another one. Boom. Like, without really saying, hold on, let me digest context. Because I think there's a rush for us all to be like, first, and say the snarky, funny thing first.
Yeah.
And get our tweet, like, screen-grabbed and put on BuzzFeed or whatever.
Right.
I think there's like a need to do that. That's yikes.
It's annoying, and also there were just the reactions that were in, because people, and this is the reason that I don't believe offhand that this is going to have a huge impact on the outcome of the election is because people are so dug in already. It's not like someone was sort of on the bubble about Hillary's emails and then all of a sudden like, whoa, wait a minute, there's some
Hold
more?
Up.
That's a bridge too far. Sorry, I can't go there. But you have things, right when it happened, I sent out some kind of a tweet which was expressing just general frustration, because I've always been frustrated with Clinton over the fact that this is even an issue. I mean, it was, to me, it was one of the most ridiculous, even though people have done it before, you know, knowing her own issues, that in the image that people put on her and all this sort of stuff, the suspicions they have, the fact that she would do this is absurd to me and always has been. So I sent out something saying, like, Democrats are about to really wish that they had nominated Joe Biden or something like that, just because it's like that sort of email exhaustion.
Yeah.
And then later, as we started to learn more about it and stuff, I sent another tweet kind of joking about how this was starting to look like a bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all these idiot trolls that bug me all the time were like, well, you're really changing your tune now. You were freaking out, and why don't you practice what you preach? And I'm like, you know what? Shut up. I mean, just shut the hell up. Because nobody is taking anything in context. Everybody is dug in. There is no room for nuance. With these emails, it is just either nothing or it is absolutely the worst thing possible.
Absolute treason.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's just, oh, make it end. I mean, I just...
Make it end. Like, someone please put this poor old creature to sleep.
And it had to be...
like, this is terrible.
And it had to be on Anthony Weiner's laptop, too. I mean, that was just like... Right. somebody said, oh, boy, didn't see this plot twist coming.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They brought him back in at the end.
Lord. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of horrifying.
Well, it's all... I mean, it's a lot. And I really... In a week, it's not about, you know, the pressure of the election will ostensibly anyway be off. Who knows what accusations of voter fraud or whatever are going to emerge. But
depending on how many Chads happen to be hanging.
Right. Oh, the Chads. Remember when that was the biggest scandal we had ever heard of connected to a presidential election? Now we've got like, we're at the point where you can accuse a major party candidate of taking performance-enhancing drugs before a debate, and that's like, I have no time for that.
Yes.
I'm looking at this stuff over here. I have no time for you to think about your drugs.
Whack-a-mole again.
It's whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
It's total whack-a-mole. Yeah. So once the pressure of the election is off, it'll be, you know, it'll be very interesting to see just the tone of things. I think we're all, like, stressed out about it. I think we're all kind of worried about it. So I think there's, you know, stakes are high, kind of tension in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like on Wednesday after the election, the people that, you know, are trolling you are going to be like, hey, buddy, sorry about all those things I said to you during the election.
Oh, no.
Let's be friends.
In fact, I think there will be an enormous amount of boasting going on, which I don't want to see, frankly, from either side.
I don't want to. Yeah, none of it.
I don't have... I'm not going to do it. I'm declaring that right now. If Trump loses, because again, to me, this has not been, you know, nothing I've said or written has ever been an endorsement of Hillary Clinton. It has been a condemnation of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And if he loses, I do not plan on tweeting, woo, suckers, you know, screw you. Because unfortunately, this is serious.
It's serious.
I mean, it's like we've turned this into, to bring it back to the World Series, we've turned this into, like, you know, a game, and this is like a decisive game right now, and everybody's invested in their team, so to speak, and when it's over, there's going to be a big letdown, and there is going to be a tendency to want to say, oh, in your face, you know, Cleveland or Trump supporters or whoever.
Right. There are plans in the works. I've seen Facebook invites going around of people that are going to gather at the Trump building in New York and the one here and surround it the day after the election, playing to point and laugh.
See, that's horrible.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's
like
garbage.
That's throwing more, like, what craziness at the mockery that we have made.
Yes,
this, truly.
And I wouldn't want that if he wins. I wouldn't want Clinton. I wouldn't want Trump supporters doing that if he wins. I wouldn't want Clinton supporters doing that if she wins. I wouldn't want anybody doing that. Period. Because we have to start to remember, I think, hopefully, and hopefully we will once the dust settles a little bit, that we are all a part of the same country, divided though we might be. And that's going to require a lot of people on both sides to chill the hell out a little bit.
Oh, we're going to have to hug some things out
in a big
way.
Yeah, exactly. And I include myself in that. I mean, look, everybody... I'm not going to lie and say that I haven't gotten fired up about this let my anti-Trump emotions get the better of me or say things that, you know, perhaps I shouldn't have said about people supporting him or whatever. But that has to stop, and we have to find a way to come back and get in the middle. And I mean that whether it's Trump or Hillary again. I mean, if he wins, I think, okay, look, guys, as it was Obama, whose election has elections have consequences. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
And if he wins, he's that right. means that's where we are as a country. That's who the people wanted.
Yeah.
And I don't like it, but right. I don't want to see our government just grind to a halt because there's somebody in there that we don't like
right.
or that I don't like.
Like what we need to do is immediately say, okay, this is where we're at.
Yeah.
This is the reality of the situation. This is where we're at. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get to work.
Yeah.
So that the next election, we don't have a man child in there. We don't have a Cheeto.
Sure.
Right. Or
right.
whatever, you know, because I, you know, we also don't know there's campaigning candidate and then there's office candidate,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to take a certain, I mean, that's your job at that point is to campaign,
right.
is to speak words to people that will move them to vote for you. That mm-hmm. is your job by definition of politicking.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually, you know, because every single president ever has had the like, oh, you promised this and didn't do the blah, blah, blah. You know,
right.
that's kind of what happened. You know, also, I think the first 4 years in office, you're cleaning up whatever was like, there's probably a backlog from George Washington of just crap that stayed on the Google Doc to do list. That's just changed role. Like,
yes.
Man, I still got to fix that one thing right there. I'll get to it. Whatever. Like, there's still just stuff, you know,
right.
there's like backlog of crap from every administration, I'm sure. And so, especially if you're radically changing the tone of the administration, I think there's probably a lot you would shift a lot, like quickly a lot, you know,
mm-hmm.
big things, and it would go a different direction. So probably the first 4 years of a radically different presidency would be about changing the tone and changing some policies and doing like a lot of same as like taking a job, right? If someone's
yeah.
if you take a job from someone, you're gonna go in there and make it yours and put mm-hmm. your stamp on things, and that's gonna take time. Not that I want him in there for 8 years, but just saying.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, I think that's what we do. We wake up on the 9th and we roll up our sleeves and we get to work either way.
Yeah, exactly. And so then, you know, say if Trump wins, then I am going to hope that the Republicans around him will help him do as good a job as possible. I'm going to hope
yeah.
that the Democrats won't pull the same crap that the Republicans pulled with Obama and try to block everything.
Right.
You know, I mean, that doesn't mean I want him to rubber stamp everything, but I do want some progress to be made, and I want to see some give and take, because that's you can't look. I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what you think of Donald Trump, there is obviously, as you can see from the tightening polls right now, an enormous swath of the population that supports him, and
yeah.
maybe they don't support everything about him. You know, maybe it's his policies that they support, and they are able to ignore the other stuff, whatever. But you can't just disregard that.
Yeah, because at the end of blah, blah, let me try that again. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter why he gets someone's vote.
Mm-hmm.
It matters whether or not he does.
Exactly. Right.
And it doesn't matter if that is a vote against Hillary or a vote for him or a single issue vote for him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a vote's a vote.
The outcome's the same.
Yeah, whether you are his biggest fan or you're on the fence. Like, it's the vote matters. So,
yeah.
I agree. And I think, you know, the part that we are going to struggle with the most is hearing each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's very easy. Like, you and I every single day get called some version of dumb liberal, whatever, communist, blah, blah, socialist, blah, blah. Like, almost every day
mm-hmm.
we get called those things on Twitter. And I don't know about you, but I know certainly a lot of people that say, you know, very derogatory things about Trump supporters too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we have to get to a place where we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take a lot of growth on both parties, both sides,
yeah.
to get to that point where you can have empathy for each other. We don't have to agree. And that's where I think we're screwed up, because to have empathy and understanding and respect, even, I know that's a lofty one, but even to get there for the opposition, you know, that doesn't mean agree with them. That doesn't mean believe what they believe. And I think that's where we're screwed up, because
mm-hmm.
we think, oh, if I have empathy for a Trump supporter, that means I think what they think. No, it doesn't. It just means I understand why you think that.
Mm-hmm.
I hear where you're coming from. That's all that means. And I think that's where we get pretty screwed up.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there was a going back to our just reading the headlines a bit at the beginning there. There was a piece that just came out in the Washington Post that says, the headline is, "What is this election missing? Empathy for Trump voters." And as I was coming in to do the podcast, I was reading all of the reactions on Twitter to that, which were, you know, no way. What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. But then I actually, on the train, read the piece. And it's actually an interview with a professor, a sociology professor, who wrote a book and spent time with people in predominantly rural conservative areas. This is it's Arlie Russell Hochschild. I'm not pronouncing this right. Hochschild. She's a Berkeley sociology professor. And so she wanted to figure out sort of what white working class people who used to be Democratic but had switched to being Republicans were thinking. And she wanted to spend time with them and get to know them and vice versa and try to break down some of these walls. Mm. And what she found was, or what she concluded, really, and this all appeared in a book that she wrote called Strangers in Their Own Land, was that basically people in a lot of these areas feel ignored, abandoned, and while she was not necessarily defending their beliefs and their unwillingness to embrace diversity and various other things, she was saying that she feels like liberals have a lot of work to do on being empathetic enough to recognize that they feel like a minority, basically, at this point. These are predominantly white, mm-hmm. you know, rural people, and they feel like they are being ignored. Nobody's been speaking to them. And so you may not agree with that premise or with that logic, but you should at least empathize with it and then try to meet people on the same page a little bit. And, you know, and of course, across the board, she talks about all these people who they meet and technically they're diametrically opposed, but as they get to know each other,
yeah.
you know, they like each other and they start to respect their differences and that sort of thing. And the one question that they asked about that I thought was interesting was speaking specifically to Trump supporters who've expressed racist, sexist, xenophobic beliefs and all that sort of thing. If you feel threatened by that, how do you also feel empathetic? And she responded, start with the world's finest mediators like Mandela, Gandhi, et cetera. Explore the history of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission and the extraordinary history of victims and understanding their victimizers. And then you say, I've seen myself and my side as a victim. Now let's see how they might feel that way, too. It doesn't mean you're ceding ground. It just means you're seeing more possibilities in that person than you saw them as a than if you saw them as a hopeless villain, which I thought was a really good.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's far deeper than the no, I'm not having empathy for those jerks. They called me mean names.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that would be worth considering for both sides. Both sides.
Yeah. Because as you were saying that, I was sitting here, you know, I'm like listening to that and thinking. Initially, I started kind of thinking, well, you know, I can understand why people, maybe from an economic place, I can hear that, but when it gets racist and sexist, mm-hmm. that's a problem because that's about power being challenged. Mm-hmm. When you're hearing people say, feeling like pissed off about being a minority and feeling like that means they will be mistreated, mm-hmm. is a tell that you have been enjoying some supremacy on some sort, right? That you have been like some sort of privilege and you are hanging on to it in a supremacy sort of way.
Right.
But you make a very good point about, particularly when you think about it in a South African context, that is very interesting when you start thinking about it that in that way.
Yeah, I think it's interesting and it's very thoughtful. And I agree with you. I guess my view is when it comes to racism, sexism issues, immigration issues as well, I think it's incumbent upon people who have supported Trump, if in the event that Clinton wins, I think it's incumbent upon them to recognize that the country is moving forward and that they need to work on that part of themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's also the other side then for Clinton supporters. I think it's incumbent upon them to recognize some of the economic issues and other issues that people who supported Trump the issues that are driving them, because it is not just racism or anything like that that's driving folks who support Trump. It just isn't. I mean, that's a simplistic and obnoxious way to just sort of lump them all together.
Sure.
So that exists, absolutely, but it sure as hell isn't everything. And so I think that kind of soul searching is what really needs to happen regardless of who wins. And again,
I think it's very difficult for someone to admit to their own privilege, because it's sometimes very hard to even see your own privilege and recognize how you've been, how you've benefited from it. Mm-hmm. And you can understand, but you can't totally understand another person's experience. You can say, I see that that could be difficult. Mm-hmm. I could see where that would be a struggle, but it's very hard for people to actually put themselves in another person's shoes.
Right.
And so I think when it comes to places of privilege, people get their hackles up really quickly. And they don't recognize that's what it is. I mean, I feel like I've heard a lot of that from both sides of this election cycle, of it being cloaked as I'm angry and I want to do something about it, damn it, mm-hmm. as opposed to my place of my comfort zone is being threatened in a way that makes me realize something different is ahead, and I don't know what that is. And I think that's really scary to a lot of people.
Yeah. Right. I think her point, the sociology professor that I was just talking about, her point was really that liberals are taking a position of power and sort of writing off people who have more conservative values and ideas and opinions.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair point.
That's a very fair point.
I think if you're not willing to admit that, you are being, in your own way, you're being a bit of a, you know,
well, here's a test. Here's a test that I'm really sensitive about. If you're going to do an impersonation or quote a Trump supporter, why make them Southern?
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hear very intelligent people doing that constantly.
Sure.
And I stop them and I say, I'm from the South. What are you implying right now?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, you're not like a redneck. Yes, but I am from the South. Like, it, look, crazy's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And bad ideas are everywhere. And frankly, one of the most racist places I've ever lived in my life is this city right here.
Oh, yeah, good
Chicago
Lord.
Chicago was designed to be segregated.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is literally carved into pieces based on race. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I do not play with that. And when I really got very pissed off about that was during the Kim Davis thing, that clerk in Kentucky that was not going to issue same-sex marriage licenses. A lot of people that identify left were either mocking her Southernness, mm-hmm. were saying things like, well, it's Kentucky. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. You know, implying, you know, and so I made that point on the air and it was mostly well received. I think it took a minute to land because mm-hmm. I think at first people were like, what are you talking about? She's some country bumpkin. And, you know, but I was like, listen, we cannot fight bigotry with more bigotry. Mm-hmm. We really cannot. And in fact, we're not fighting it. We're just mocking it and fanning the flames of bigotry. It doesn't matter what you fan it with. Fanning it is fanning it. It's a big old tire fire,
right.
And you can fan it and throw gasoline on it. It doesn't matter what flavor it is. You're doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think we are all very guilty of doing that sometimes. Mm-hmm. We mock certain regions. We you know, dismiss one another's intellectual capacity based on where we're from sometimes. Yeah. I mean, when I first moved out of the South, I lived in New York City, and I had a neighbor who asked me, what is it that you call colleges down there? Are they like vocational schools? And I was like, you know, Rice, Auburn, heard of those? Yeah. Maybe?
Lord
maybe?
Have mercy. Wow.
No? Okay, that's fine.
New York.
She just, like, it boggled her mind that anybody could be intelligent. And she always said that to me. She was like, you seem so smart to be from the South.
Don't get me started on stereotyping New Yorkers, because I'll be happy to do that.
And this woman had never left New York City. She'd never left the five boroughs. And I was like, what do you think happens when you cross the tunnel? And she's like, well, it's out there in the country in New Jersey. And I was like, here there be dragons. Like, what's happening? Like, it's so funny. She was so provincial. And yet, you know, to her, I seemed like this very provincial, naive bumpkin that had never, you know, done anything and had no knowledge of the world.
Right.
And, you know, when we do that to each other, I think there's like a little piece that's probably bioevolutionary that we want to, we're really weirded out by otherness, mm-hmm. but we have evolved away from that. We have moved forward. We're no longer in Neanderthal packs, at least most of us anyway.
Yes.
There's probably a few folks left that you wouldn't know it from like their table manners or whatever, but you know, but for the most part, we've evolved away from those sort of things. And we but you know, on some level, I think sometimes we have to get to a point where we're talking about our biases a little more too.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, my concern is that we're not going to do it.
I
don't
very
trust,
concerned.
I don't trust us to do it.
I don't trust us. We are in a moment in which 80,000 people can click on a story about Kim Kardashian getting robbed, or whether or not she was actually robbed or whatever. And then the story right next to it is about Syria, and yet half of Twitter has got their pants on fire saying, you damn mainstream media, you're not covering Syria. And I'm like, it's right there, but you're so busy clicking on the damn Kardashians, you don't see it, you don't know, you're not paying attention to it, you're not reading the words.
Right. Well, I can't remember who did the study. There was a study that just came out this past week that looked at media coverage. The horrible, lamestream media that has just totally given Hillary Clinton a pass.
He did air quotes on that, you guys.
Thank you. The vast majority, I mean, an enormous percentage, the most coverage anything has gotten this election season was Hillary Clinton's emails. So
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, where is
we believe what we want to believe.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it wasn't even close. And the second thing, I think, was Trump's comments from the Access Hollywood tapes or something like that, maybe. But there was
the old Access Hollywood tapes.
Yep. Yeah, those things. But I mean, this idea that the media doesn't cover things, it's just, you know what, if it's not something you're interested in, they cover it too much. If it's something you're interested in, they don't cover it enough.
Right.
And that's... you're judging. You're not actually looking at any
facts.
We
have to recognize our humanness at some point and say, I'm not seeing this because it's something I believe is not being covered. Therefore, I'm going to see it less.
Right. And it doesn't take long. I had just last night I was writing a column about Clinton and her emails and the haters of Hillary Clinton who just take everything that happens to her.
The HHC? And
the HHCs that just immediately take everything and assume absolute guilt. And there were several, I had a bunch of examples lined up of things that recently that had happened where people had said extreme things. So there was this Senator Burr in North Carolina made a comment about a magazine that had a picture of Clinton on it that should have had a bullseye on her face. And, you know,
Jesus.
I know. But that sort of stuff that's like common parlance when it comes to the HHCs because they don't care. And this is, you know, that's acceptable. He did apologize, but only after enormous pressure came on. I mean, my point was that gut instinct to just go to, like, you know, shoot her.
Yeah.
And or lock her up or whatever. But anyway, the point I'm making is that there were a few examples that I had. One of, like, Sean Hannity getting hold of some complete nonsense, new, quote-unquote, news story and running with it on his radio show, and then it was completely debunked, of course, like an hour later. But I was about to put that in the column as an example of that kind of mania, but then I did a couple little Google searches on the whole thing and found that he had apologized. He'd gone on Twitter right after the radio show, said, you know what, my bad, I completely screwed that up. So I'm like, okay, so I left that out. So
yeah, fair enough.
Point being, it doesn't take a lot to figure out what the hell you're talking about and whether it's true or not. You know what I mean?
It does not.
When I put stuff in my columns, I go the extra mile, which is actually about 2 inches, and figure out, okay, wait, is this accurate? I check a variety of sources. I make sure, okay, did something happen after this that I'm not aware of that kind of disqualifies it from making a point, blah, blah, blah. And that's all you need to do. I mean, it's not like I'm a rocket scientist. Good Lord. I mean, I hardly know what I'm doing half the time. So anybody can do that. And that's
somebody listening just went, aha, he admits it.
Yes, exactly. Pull that quote. There's nothing worse you can say about me than what I've already said about myself at times. So
opposition.
Yes, do as you wish. So that's the thing. It's like, and that's what makes me so nuts is that it's like, you know, there are things that you could criticize any person about. All you got to do is make sure that they're actually true. There was a video that was online just a little bit earlier today about polling. It was a polling place down in Florida, and there's a bunch of Trump supporters sitting like in the median kind of by the polling place, and one of them's got a bullhorn, and they're screaming at Hillary Clinton supporters who are going to vote. How do you like voting? Oh, yeah, I just did it. Sorry.
I just did
the damn Southern thing. I'm sorry.
I'm a horrible person.
Okay, there you go.
I make you better, Rex Huppy.
Well, in my defense, she was actually Southern. It was in Florida, but that's not a very good
defense. Well, in Florida, the more you travel north, the more Southern it gets. Like,
right.
Miami doesn't feel like
no,
the
I know.
South.
I grew
like,
up in Tampa, so.
Oh, so you know.
Yeah. Florida's
they your people.
Ridiculous. Right, yeah. I should be able to make fun of
you can mock your own people.
All I want.
That's the rule on the show. You can mock your own people, but no other people.
Others, none. Anyway, but yeah, she's screaming, Hillary killed 4 people in Benghazi. I'll basically take any crackpot Hillary conspiracy theory that's been thoroughly debunked, and she was yelling it at the Hillary supporters. And again, it's like, well, look, you know what? If you want to yell at Hillary supporters, you could yell some honest things.
Yeah.
And as criticisms
don't
and say,
make
why,
shit up.
Why are you voting for her? Because she did A, B, and C. You, go with God. You can do that. Okay. Yeah. But you're just yelling crap that anybody could take, again, 10 seconds and figure out that it's a load of.
Yeah. Hooey. And also, if you say anything right, it can sound inflammatory.
Right.
You know, you can be you like, Rex Hupke has brown hair. Like, so?
Yes. Like, he's a brown hair.
Right. And
yeah, right.
Like you can yes, you can yell anything in the right way and it sounds like, oh, is that a scandal? Oh my gosh, does he have brown hair? Or doesn't he like yes. da da?
Is it dyed?
Is he really a blonde? Yes. Is that even hair?
Like yes, it could be a wig.
He did the Urlacher thing. It's not even hair. Like it's like things this is how things happen. We mock that, but yet that is exactly how things unfold.
Yeah.
And it takes a little and it makes me crazy that we are at this moment where we have greater access to information than ever, mm-hmm. and yet we are so damn lazy that we can't. And I wrote down what you just said a minute ago. It does not take a lot to figure out what the hell you're talking about. That is the motto of this show now.
it's very aspirational.
We need to say that in Latin.
Yes. I'm sure it sounds better that way.
It sounds way better in Latin, I'm sure.
Or in Southern.
Or whatever. Right. But indeed, you know, that we, and I recognize that it is, there's a lot of information. Sometimes it's very difficult to find it all. Mm-hmm. But like, here's two things you can do super easily. If somebody sends you an email forward, pick a fact out of it and Google it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a quote, Google the quote.
Right.
And see if it's accurate and being presented in the right context in that email forward. My guess is if the email is written in more than one color of Comic Sans, it is probably not accurate.
Correct.
Just going to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you see a scandal that has happened in the recent past, you can Google that and the word apologizes and just see what you find.
Mm. Yeah,
just see, because
that's really smart.
That person might have apologized and then you're like, oh, this is kind of a non-issue. Right
well, exactly, now. Because that makes a huge difference. Because if you've, even if it was really bad, I mean, apologizing goes a long way. And that really deflates.
And there are times when you cannot put the genie back in the bottle.
Mm-hmm, sure.
When the when one of the Trump accusers got her information tweeted, there was an apology there. I'm sorry that I did that. But like, dude, you had already done it.
Right.
Her address was out in public and people were saying, get her.
Right. Sorry is not good enough.
You need to actually say, I'm going to hire some private security for you or whatever. Like, I will help you relocate. You need to make amends there.
Right. Or I'll advocate for people to not do this sort of thing.
Yeah. I have since been educated as to the danger I put you in. I didn't realize that the internet could get you. My bad.
Right.
Welcome to the internet, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes you can't unring a bell, but for the most part, I am sorry goes a very, very long way.
Yeah.
And then the story has shifted because if it's like one of those crappy non-apologies where it's like, I'm real sorry you took what I said out of context and got your panties in a wad about it. Mm-hmm. Like then the story is about that screwed up apology.
Yeah.
And like this person allegedly did this thing and their apology sucked. Now you have a two-part story.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Well, I thought Hillary's email thing, she delayed apologizing for that a long time. And I thought that was, again, just ridiculously
That's a habit of hers. She delays.
Oh, yeah, totally like, does.
The last time she ran, as you recall, it took her quite a long time to step down from that.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that we were all like, dude.
Yeah.
The horse is dead. Let's not be like we're done here.
Right.
Come
exactly.
on. It was getting uncomfortable.
It's not happening. Right.
Yeah. Like, come on. Just call it. Like, let's do it. Cowgirl up and just say like, you okay? Everybody, go vote for that guy. I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just do it. And it was oh boy.
That would have gone a long way though if from the get go she had said, wow, this was really done. She could have even said, you know what? Given the impression that my opponents have of me, the fact that I did this is ridiculous, and I am incredibly sorry. I don't, you know, I this was our thinking. I don't know why I missed it. I mean, there's a lot of things she could have said.
Right. When you take the thing being thrown at you, if you take the dart and you acknowledge the dart and you explain the dart, you have the power then to shape the argument of your opposition. I mean, you can kind of like confirm it and dismiss it, and it goes away.
Where does the dart go?
Well, it becomes dust. It turns into like a little unicorn.
Okay. Poof. Yeah, I like that. Then the dart becomes a unicorn.
It's no longer a dart.
Hillary's email scandal could have been a unicorn, and yet, here we are.
I'm sad that we've already got a name for this podcast, because that's a pretty good one. Save that for your memoirs. when you write like the political book that you write. Because everybody's got to have like the political book, the warm fuzzy book, the memoirs, the how-to.
The workout video. I'm working on that one.
I cannot wait for
the Hupke workout video.
That's going to be awesome. We'll get my yoga teacher involved. Yes. It'll be good. It'll be really good.
It'll be so chill.
I hate to sign off from this one, because when we fire the mics back up, we're going to know a lot more than we know right now.
It may just be next time 45 minutes of screaming. We don't know.
Or because yeah. Canadian.
Yeah, right. Yes, yes. screaming next to possibly a moose.
Screaming in Canada.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to start using some Canadian stereotypes now rather than Southern ones. So.
Right. Last night I watched the Hawks and Calgary Flames game, and I was like, I should learn about this team.
Yeah.
You never know.
They may be your team. Who knows?
I may be real excited about the Calgary Flames next time they meet the Blackhawks. But the Hawks won. They spanked them, and there were some good hockey fights.
Oh, yeah?
There was even like a horizontal one.
Wow, really?
Like they were down in front of that goal net, like beating the crap out of each other. Nice. Of course, I'm standing up yelling, get him! Yeah.
Yes, blood!
Because normally I'm like, let's love each other. Let's talk it out. Let's make space to have conversation. But when it's hockey, I'm like, get him! Beat him up!
Injure yourselves for my entertainment.
I'm the worst. I'm like, yes. Knock out Marty! Yes. Yeah!
What's the matter?
I'm the worst. Well, when we meet again, friends, although you and I will probably be on the air on election night, and we won't totally know the situation, but we'll know something.
We will know something.
We will know something.
And if we don't, we'll pretend we know something.
We're going to pretend, because, you know, we're the liberal media.
Yes, exactly. We will make it up.
Well,
yes.
Whatever the leaders tell us.
When I'm not busy rigging the election.
For the record, we're fucking with you right now. Yes. We're kidding. Yes. That's not a thing we do or know. I promise you, if you were to look at, I can't speak for you, but if you were to look at my bank account, you would realize I'm not on the dole from anybody.
Yeah, that's the other thing I always get a kick out of, is that we're in the pocket of the Clinton crime family or whatever. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, where's the pay?
Let me show you the coat I just bought from a thrift store. Yes. And all of my Target t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Why is my 2006 Honda vehicle that's falling apart, you know?
Yeah, when Sean Hannity was talking about like the expensive wine lifestyles,
right,
of journalists, a journalist that I know was like, remind me to tweet him a picture of my very old Prius with the bumper held on by duct tape.
Yeah,
and he can decide for himself of my expensive lifestyle.
Or just a video of a newsroom and then somebody bringing free food in and seeing what happens.
I swear to God.
There, you know, that would show you all you need to know about our great wealth.
It can be a plate of iceberg lettuce
with
like the crappiest like Kraft Italian dressing squirted on top of it, and journalists will circle we'll get it like a bunch of like pterodactyls. We're on it. It's funny.
It's horrifying.
All right, good times, friends. Get yourselves out and vote. Please do that.
Do it.
Please, for the love, do the voting.
Nothing more important right now.
And don't do the thing where like, my vote doesn't matter in this state, or it's too close, or it's a landslide, or whatever you believe, because there's something out there to confirm everything you might possibly think. Don't screw with that. Don't risk that. Just go do the voting. And if you're pissy about long lines like the ladies that were standing behind me during the primary, you need to get over yourself, because I turned around and told them. They were like, oh, the lines are long. We should go. This is so boring. I was like, there are women that worked very hard to give us the right to do this, and you need to stay here. And I like made her feel really bad. And I said it loud enough that everyone heard, so that if she would have walked out, she would have felt
good
the
job.
Eyes. And
way
so
to go.
She stayed. 2.5 hours later, we voted.
Yes.
And she was pissed.
And she's been mad at you ever since.
Pretty much. I keep getting eggs thrown at my house. It's weird. But my friends, do the voting. We will see you next time. We will talk about it in great detail, and it will all be good. And I'm telling you, the day after the election, let's all wake up in the morning, roll up our sleeves, and get to work. No matter the outcome, no matter the outcome, we all have work to do. So let's do that. This is Amy Guth and Rex Hupke signing off on Guth and Hupke on Politics. See you next time.